few minutes ago, we sang a beautiful hymn, a very old hymn of the church. It was written by Isaac Watts in 1707. That was quite a while ago, wasn't it? 1707. The second verse just speaks to me clearly of what this time of the year is about. Hear these words again. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. All the vain things that charm me most. All the vain things that charm us most. All the vain things. That's what sticks out most in my mind, I think. The word vain. The vain things. There are so many competing interests and desires. So many competing values in this world. So many things that compete for our time and our attention other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are many things in this world, occupations, duties, tasks, interests, activities. There are indeed many things which compete for our time and our attention, and all of these things are indeed vain things when compared to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even good things, family and friends and country, can become vain, useless, meaningless, empty. When they compete with the gospel. What's another word for vain other than useless and empty? I can remember one day I was trying to get ready to come to church, and I was looking in the mirror and I was brushing my hair and looking at myself and thinking to myself, okay, I'm losing too much of this up here. What am I going to do? And I was saying to myself, you know, I could become vain if I wasn't careful. Vanity, vanity, vanity. Thinking of yourself and your own appearance or your own needs and desires, your own interests. Vanity, vanity, vanity. That's another meaning for the word vain. And it is indeed very empty, very meaningless. And when it competes with the gospel of Jesus Christ, all vanity must lose. That's what Paul says today in the letter to the Romans in chapter 8. There are three basic meanings to today's passage, today's reading, and I want to lift them out. Firstly, being focused upon yourself and your desires and wishes puts you into conflict with God. It breaks down the peace which Jesus Christ in his death on the cross established for us. And we see that especially here in verses 6 and verses 7. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. So what he says here is very simple. If your mind is set on your flesh, on yourself, on your own needs and desires, on those things that you want to do, on those things which stand in competition with God, that's death, my friends. It ends peace with God. It divides you from God. It separates you from God. So setting the mind on the flesh, on yourself, on your own needs and desires, is disastrous indeed. It is a vain thing, as Isaac Watts' hymn says, or as Paul says, it is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace, to set the mind on the Spirit of God, to set the mind on the will of God, to set the mind on the desires of God for you, to set the mind on what God calls us to do, on the Holy Scriptures, on the will of the Father as contained in the Bible, on the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus. To set the mind on these things is life and peace. Life and peace. We've heard those two words before in this series from Romans. Life, the word in Greek is zoe. It means God's life. It means to be alive as opposed to being dead. Being alive is the ability or the capacity to change, to react to stimulus, to respond. To be dead means you cannot respond. You cannot change. You cannot act. To be alive is to have the capacity to act, the capacity to change, the capacity to respond. To have the mind set on the self, on the flesh, is to be dead. To have the mind set on the Holy Spirit, on the presence of Jesus, on the gospel of Jesus Christ, on the will of God, on the Holy Scriptures, is indeed life. Zoe, life. And it's peace, the end of againstness with God. Both of those are the opposite of death. Life and peace are the opposite of death and separation. All right, that's the first thing this passage is about. Being focused upon yourself and your desires and wishes puts you into conflict with God. Here's the second thing. As Christians, having the Spirit of God in us, we are not focused upon ourselves, our own desires, interests, dreams, and objectives, but on God's objective for us. I'm going to repeat that. As Christians, having the Spirit of God in us, we are not focused upon ourselves, our own desires, our own interests, our own dreams and objectives, but on God's objective for us. Scripture for that is verses 9 and 10. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Let's begin to break that apart a little bit. You are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, Paul says, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Well, I don't know about you, but I seem kind of fleshy. Some of you seem kind of fleshy. Frankly, some of you, like me, seem more fleshy than others. Lots of flesh on some of us. Oh, hush. Some seem more fleshy than others, but all are living, aren't you? I think you're living. Take a deep breath. Don't cough. It's not that bad. Let it out. Okay. You're alive. Now listen to that coughing. Whew. Need to see a respiratory therapist. Okay. You're alive, right? Nod your heads. Say yes. You're alive? Good. That means you're living in flesh and blood and bones, right? So, amen, yes. So, what does Paul mean here? Let's read it again, the first part of that verse. You are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. He's not talking about the literal flesh here. He's speaking here about what is seated in the self. The flesh is the self, the desires, the wants, the dreams of the individuals, like we looked at in the first point of this message. You're not in that. You're not focused in yourself. You're not looking out for number one, but rather for number one. Rather than having your interests and your focus and your objectives being your own, They are oriented towards God. That is how you are not in the flesh. In other words, Paul is using the word flesh here as a metaphor for your own self-interest. The I in the middle of your heart. The ego, the self-desire, the self-interest. Paul is saying, you're not in that. You're not in that. Rather, you are in the Spirit. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. And then he adds this little extra sentence. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. There is no such thing as a non-Spirit-filled Christian. All right? If you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you do not have Christ in you. You are not in Christ. You are not a Christian. That means if you are a Christian, then you have Christ in you, and you are dwelling in Christ, and your focus is on Christ's will, Christ's life, the gospel, and God's will for you. So that the degree to which your focus is on you and not on Christ, the degree to which your focus and your interest in life is on yourself and not on Christ, is the degree to which you are not a Christian. Ooh, ow, Greg, you just stepped on my toes. I stomped on mine too, friends. The degree to which in my life my interests and focuses are not on God's will for me, but on my own will for me. The degree to which my interest, my objectives are my own, my priorities are my own and not God's for me, is the degree to which I am not a Christian. That's serious. The degree to which, let's say it positively, the degree to which you have turned your life over to Christ, the degree to which you call upon Jesus to direct your living, the degree to which you call upon the Holy Spirit to move in and through your life and give you an understanding of God's will and enable you to step out in faith, the degree to which you live your life in faith in Jesus Christ, focused on His will for you, to that degree, you are a Christian. Thank you. That does call for an amen. The degree to which your life is guided by yourself, you are not a Christian. The degree to which your life is guided by God, you are. It's as simple as that. Point three. Though we still live in sinful mortal bodies, bodies that still focus upon ourselves, these bodies will be transformed with and by God's very real presence, God's life, so that we won't even want to sin anymore, much less be capable of it. The thought of self will not even enter our minds. Verse 11, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also, through His Spirit that dwells in you. Okay, what does that mean? Yes. Turn to the person on your left or your right and pinch them real hard. Okay, you're here. You're awake. I heard ows and giggles. Yeah, pinch yourself if you're sitting alone. You know, yeah, you're here. You are in the flesh. You are living. You are breathing. Praise God, you're alive. That gives you an opportunity to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my friends, as long as we live in this life, as long as we take our breaths, we will have, I'm sorry to say, at least a portion of our living oriented not towards God's will, but towards our will. We will be sinners. We will be doing our own thing and not God's thing. Now, I wish and pray and I look forward to the day, because I am a Methodist and I believe God is moving me on towards perfection in love in Him. I do indeed believe that one day I will become perfect in love as God wants me to be. And I know for certain when that day will be. And you can say the same thing. That day will be when God takes you home, for sure. You may have tastes of it here. You may have a taste of what it means to live in God's will. You may have a taste of what it means to live according to God's will for your life. You may have a taste of what it means to live in the Holy Spirit of God. Indeed, you should, over your life and over your Christian living, continually have more and more and more tastes, opportunities to experience the life and presence of Jesus in your living today. You will have tastes of it. You will have banquets of it, my friends, of living in the presence of Jesus Christ here and now in this life today. You can know God's perfection. You can know God's love, you can know God's will and live in it here and now. Amen indeed. But we still are sinners. We still struggle with the flesh. And until God completely transforms us, glorifies us, changes us into the perfection of Jesus' body, my friends, we will still be sinners. But we can say with certainty that when He takes us home into heaven, into glory, to be with Him, we will know no imperfection. We will know no sin. We will know no illness. We will have truly the total will of God living in and through us. We will be perfect in Jesus Christ. We will be completely transformed. I'm reminded of something that Linda said, sitting over there at that piano a year and a half ago, I guess it was. She was coughing and she was struggling with illness, and she looked at me and she said, "I'll just be so glad when I'm not sick anymore and I don't sin anymore." Amen. She knows that now, my friends. Amen. And we too can share in that experience. In this life, it's called sanctification. Little by little, bit by bit, every day, we can come to know the presence of Jesus, the power of His Spirit, the life-transforming grace that He gives to us, and we can be surprised at what God can do in our living today, transforming us here and now. The things I used to do 20 years ago, I don't want to do anymore because of the presence of Jesus in my life. The things I used to desire to do back before I was old enough to do them when I was a kid, I don't want to do anymore. I used to think when I was 17 that it would be great, wonderful, cool if I could go up and buy myself a can of beer. Ooh. And now that I can and not even get carded, all this gray helps, I don't want to. I don't want to. And that isn't me, friends, working a miracle in my own life. It's God working a miracle. And you can have that experience too. You can experience the power of God transforming your life, overturning your life, overturning the flesh, and instilling in you the body of Christ. The two words we're going to look at today, and you can't get away from one of my messages here over these last few weeks without a couple of Greek words. You're only going to get two today. And they're easy. Some of them, you may have heard them before. The word flesh. In Greek, it's sarx. That's easy. Sarx. And flesh has several meanings. Its basic meaning is the one that most of us think about when we think of flesh. This stuff right here, of which some of us have way too much. Sarx. There's another meaning for it, a meaning that Paul had for it, which was your sinning nature, your desire to do your own thing and not God's thing. Okay? We've already talked about that. Sarx. There's another word that has a very similar meaning that we're going to look at now, and it's the word soma, body. When Paul used the word sarx, he meant your sinning nature. When Paul used the word soma, he meant your glorified body, all that you are. Your body, your mind, your spirit, your soul, all that makes you, you. He meant all that you are. Flesh, bone, blood, mind, soul, spirit, every bit of you. And what he said is, While you live in flesh now, you are called to live in Christ, in the Spirit. And eventually, you will be so totally transformed that that sinful sarx, that sinful flesh, will be dumped. And your soma, your body, will be transformed. And you will take on the sarx, the flesh, the existence of Jesus. And you will become as perfect as Jesus. So the two words today are sarx, your sinful nature, and soma, the body that Jesus wants you to have, the perfect glorified body of Christ. My brothers and sisters, we have a simple challenge today. As we come up on Passion Sunday next Sunday, and Maundy Thursday when we will receive the Lord's Supper and wash one another's feet, and on Good Friday when we will take a nail and nail it into the hardwood of a cross, nailing our sins into that cross, reminding ourselves that we crucified Jesus, and then take those sins and burn them, giving them back to Jesus. My friends, today we have a special opportunity. We have a special opportunity to turn ourselves over yet again to the guidance of the power of the Holy Spirit that God has for us. We have an opportunity to set aside the sarx, the flesh, and to live in the soma, the body of Christ, the body of glorification that He wants us to have. Give some thought today, and in prayer time at the altar, at the end of the service, give some thought. Where are you living? Are you living in sarx, in your flesh? Is all that you do, all that you think about, all that you spend your money on, is everything that your life orbits around stuff that deals with you, with your own interests, with your own desires, with what you think is good? Or is your life oriented towards God, to what God wants for you, to what God has called you to do and be? I want to be very honest with you here today. If I made a ledger and put on one side those things in my life that are living in sarx, in flesh, and those things in my life that are living in soma, in the body of Jesus, and I compared them, there'd be a whole lot more on the side of sarx than on the side of soma. There'd be a whole lot more that I need to turn over to Jesus. A whole lot more in my life that I would need to say, God, here you go. I encourage you here today. And in the few days that are to come before Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and Easter Sunday morning, I encourage you to think in your lives, what part of your living have you been keeping and hoarding vainly to yourself and counting for most? And what things need to be turned over? Those things need to be turned over to God. Give some special prayerful thought today, tomorrow, in the days that are to come, to what things are governing your life. What priorities do you have in your living? Are they in God's will, or are they in your will? If you're living in sarx, in your flesh, it's time to turn that over to Jesus and live in the body of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and let the people of God say, Amen.